Here we are now. Entertain us. Phil Giraldi, the camera just sort of went fuzzy. It's all good. Former CIA analyst, and he's run the CNI, formerly wrote for American Conservative, formerly wrote for antiwar.com. He's had a bunch of jobs, gotten a lot of trouble for having a truthy opinions. And he's my friend as well. I've met him several times in Texas, the Ron Paul conference, and also at those wonderful events from Grant F. Smith at the Washington Press Club. Phil Giraldi, I gotta ask you about Gaza. As a former and a guy on the ground for the CIA, not an analyst, but someone that actually met spies and talked to people, what happened on Saturday? How did this start?
Well, it obviously was triggered by the rioting at the Al-Aqsa Mosque a few days before, which was basically allowed, where settlers rampaged through the area. And this was allowed by the Israeli government, which had troops standing thereby, which let all of this go on. And pilgrims, Muslim pilgrims, were beaten up, and the site was entered, and so on and so forth. This was a major sacrilege.
That was Thursday, and it was over 800 rabbis, right-wing professors, a bunch of lunatics, all adults, got together, thought it would be a great idea to go do Talmudic rituals in a Muslim holy site, as if that would not cause any kind of provocation at all.
Right, that's what they maybe thought, or they thought these ragheads ain't going to do nothing to stop us. Well, what they did was, Hamas was preparing for some kind of, shall we say, incident along the border with Israel. And when this happened, they went to first gear on it. And so that's what triggered it. Now, in my opinion, and I think this is the opinion of a growing body of people, the Israeli government knew this was coming. They were warned by the Egyptians. They were warned by United States intelligence. They had, shall we say, sources and observers inside Gaza who saw Hamas actually training to do these things. So there was no doubt that this was in the air and this was about to happen. And they made a political decision. The political decision was, hey, let them do this. Let them get away with it. Let them kill a few Jewish Israelis as a price to pay for this. And this will produce the outrage that will enable us to destroy them.
Mowing the lawn, like they used to say. Yeah, let's go mow the lawn. Because in previous incidents, it would just be a couple rockets or whatever. And then they would go, oh, the rockets, it wouldn't kill anybody, wouldn't do anything. And then they would just go carpet bomb Gaza. This one went through. Now, Pepe Escobar, I'm sure you're familiar with him, wrote an article exposing how they had operatives spying on Hamas, watching the whole training exercise, because Hamas built replicas of the wall and bases and practice on it. The Israelis do the same thing. They have an entire replica of Jenin down to the pebble. And so they knew this was going on. Do you think maybe because it was a Jewish holiday, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I also think it's a false flag, but I'm just going to play advocate. A lot of people were gone. Some of these women at the monitors were asleep at the wheel and just didn't think they'd ever break through the wall and just didn't think it would come and didn't notice it till it was too late.
Well, that's, of course, the counter argument that's being made, that this was an intelligence and military failure. But again, I don't see that. There was just too much stuff coming in within a short window. I mean, this is a few days before the incident took place, that the U.S. intelligence agencies that are in contact with liaison with the Israelis and also the Egyptian intelligence agencies had picked up on all this and warned them that there was something coming. So that's no excuse.
Because the Egyptians publicly said, hey, we warned them and they ignored us. That's a kind of a no-no, isn't it?
Yeah, and in fact, the several congressmen have let drop that it was their understanding that U.S. intelligence had also informed the Israelis directly through their upper-level liaison connections. And So there's more evidence in that. And as you say, when you have people, when you have the Wall Street Journal, for example, having a source telling them, yeah, we watched them doing their training exercises, then that kind of tells you something, doesn't it?
Wow. You know, it must be hard for Netanyahu, because either way, either he's asleep at the wheel and they got through and it's a huge failure, or he knew about it and allowed it to happen. Both are, you're out of office, buddy. So do you think maybe he underestimated the response, just thought, oh, they'll fire a couple rockets like always and then we'll go. Maybe they wanted to provoke them. They wanted to get a response, but they didn't know how hard they could hit. You know, they underestimated like how well they would get out of their cage, take out the machine gun turrets with drones. I mean, we'll have to give agency to Hamas. That's my opinion. I think they did provoke it, but they underestimated just how hard the response would be.
Yeah, in fact, I agree with you 100% on that. I think that they miscalculated just how effective these guys could be, how well trained they were, how good their plan was. And so there were a whole lot of things that came together, and they were basically did something that the Israeli government, and by that I mean Netanyahu, probably made the political decisions here, did not anticipate just how effective this attack would be. They were looking for something a little more low scale that would still give them an excuse for going in and mowing the grass.
It's kind of a victim of their own success, because all previous provocations, that's pretty much how it went down. They maybe three people get killed or injured or something, and then they kill 1,000 Palestinians. These boys had Israeli uniforms. They hit hard. They took out the communication systems and then simultaneous strikes. The Israelis ran from those southern bases south of Ashkelon and left so much equipment behind that Hamas had civilians come on dirt bikes and come pick up the vehicles, the armor, like all kinds of things left right there. So it does seem like if you were going to do a false flag, you're not going to give the enemy either gear. So they must have been overwhelmed and surprised by that part. So in a way, it's both. It's an intelligence failure and a provocation.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, I think the key here has to be considered the political decision, because the other weaknesses come later. And once you've decided this is basically what you're going to do, and it's a very bad judgment, and I agree with your comment about Netanyahu being dead meat. Either way this plays out. Because he looks like he needlessly sacrificed Jewish lives, or B, it was just a very bad decision based on what he thought the next part of the game would be. So, and we're seeing that now. I mean, there are a lot of demonstrations going on around the world that are not even being reported. They're pro-Palestinian. New York, right. Chicago, Washington, London, Paris, Berlin.
There was one here in Seoul.
And they're not even being reported. So there's a big groundswell of people saying, we do not need a genocide of 2 million Palestinians trapped in a cage to prove that Israel is capable of doing this.
Well, if you look at Ben Asad Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, and some of these kooks, they are openly calling for genocide, as is the Israeli president, Herzog, said they're, what do you call them, human animals or human cattle or something like that.
Yeah.
You've had people in the Knesset have been saying this for a long time, that Palestinians give birth to snakes and they're not really people. And then you have the Christian Zionists talking about glass parking lots and all the typical, glass of rage. It's half of Gaza's children. And a lot of this propaganda got going with the 40 beheaded babies. Does that remind you of anything else?
That reminded me of back in Kuwait when the babies were being thrown out of the incubators by Saddam Hussein personally, apparently. And it's the same story. It's the same kind of story. and it's fabricated by the same people, the neocons. I mean, they're the ones that have the ability to talk into the ears of these congressmen and people in the Biden administration, and also in France, in Germany, in England, in Australia. Yeah, neocons.
They changed their logo and put a little Star of David above it, and they're still running with the 40 babies story. If he just said a baby, it would have been enough. 40 was so over the top that people just, come on. The woman that reiterated that rhetoric from this radical settler, his name was David Ben Zion. His last name is Zion. That's who made up the 40 headless babies thing. She even retracted her tweet, so I actually never saw any evidence that it's just some soldier told me that, some reservist, you know, role-playing as a soldier. And yet, all these news outlets, they know it's been debunked, and they're just running with it anyway, and they keep repeating the 40 babies. Another one is the, what they say, 240 people killed at a concert, although journalists were at that concert, and that didn't happen. There was a firefight, and people got killed and injured, but not hundreds of civilians. And yeah, so it is like that Naira testimony, the Hill and Knowlton coached, you know, they took the babies and they threw them on the cold floor, said by a 15-year-old with perfect English. It never sat well. Do you think that that propaganda is to justify Israelis butchering more civilians later?
Well, of course not. There's no equivalency here. The Palestinians have been prisoners of Israel for, by some calculations, for 75 years. And it's certainly gotten more intensified and evil in the last 20 years. And so this is what this is what produced the reaction, that the Palestinians finally reached the point where they said, well, we have to do something, even if it's going to cost us. This is just this is manifest evil. And they're absolutely correct in that. So I think that, you know, we have to look at this. What scares me a lot, though, is the fact that American politicians, the way they're jumping on the Israeli boat. And Nikki Haley, for example, wants us to attack Iran immediately. And we should be the ones to do that.
Why Iran?
Well, because they claim.
What evidence is there that Iran gave them weapons?
Well, they're claiming that the Iranians basically were the ones that connived at this attack and basically helped arrange it and everything. I'm not quite clear how that's supposed to be. And you get this idiot, Ron DeSantis, down in Florida. He had a meeting a couple of days ago with a group of Jewish leaders in a synagogue. And he said he quoted the 40 dead babies story. And then he said, we have to attack Iran. And what he did was he passed a law in Florida, a sanctions law, that says any company that's Iranian-owned or Iranian-run in Florida will be under sanctions. And these people haven't done anything.
That reminds me of closing down all the Russian businesses when the Ukraine conflict kicked off after Zelensky attacked the Donbass. And then 7 days later, Russia reacts. They started banning Russian athletes, musicians, restaurants, whatever, just because it was Russian.
Music, which is even music, Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, music, everything. I mean, even after 9/11, there was like fear and all, but they didn't just shut down anything Muslim. Like people hadn't understood, oh, come on, that's those, that's not all of them, whatever. But there is collective punishment now for Russia, collective punishment, at least for Florida, for Iran. And Iran had nothing to do with this. As far based on evidence, if Iran was supplying Hamas, Hamas would have at least body armor and boots and basic stuff, right? These guys are in t-shirts and sandals with motorcycles and machine guns and things. Nobody's supplying them but them. If anybody was supplying them, they'd have proper weapons and their rockets might even have warheads. This is homemade stuff. And that's what's amazing is they pulled this off with the most low-tech army ever. Gosh.
Yeah. Raised the question was how did they get their weapons? Many of them were homemade, but they had some missiles.
Well, it's black market from Israel. They've admitted.
I would suspect that the source of some of these weapons was from Israel, because the tunnels that they talk about, most of them go into Israel. And was this soldiers, Israeli soldiers on the side, making a little extra money with weapons that originated in Ukraine and came from the United States? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it's, they'll sell them small arms and certain things. They're not going to give them anything vital. But I mean, these people, they use a bulldozer, some pickup trucks, some motorcycles, small arms, and commercial drones with grenades. That they must have practiced a lot, because these are hard, and these aren't the fancy drones, you know. And they went right over and dropped it perfectly on the turrets, because the turrets, for those, the audience, if you don't know, it's not a guy sitting in there anymore. It's automatic. They just have automatic scans and shoots people. So they blew the robots up. I think Israel over relied on their high tech, and I think they over rely on their high tech spying and don't have enough guys on the ground, you know, because who wants to live in Gaza?
Yeah. I
guess. What's going to happen with Netanyahu after this? Will he survive this war?
Well, I hope in general Netanyahu doesn't survive anything, but that's an optimistic viewpoint of mine. I don't know if this would be strong enough, even if this goes very badly for Israel. There's some articles today that are kind of interesting about how this street fighting, when they invade Gaza City, if they do that, might well go. That the Hamas might well have some redoubts that are 60 feet underground, and suddenly these guys show up, come in, and the Israelis are trying to pick their way through piles of ruined concrete, and suddenly they're under gunfire. It could be, again, something that doesn't exactly go the way they anticipated.
Well, if you look at the Israeli trainers in Ukraine as any indicator, you look at the summer offense from Ukraine with their armor and all, that didn't go well at all. I noticed, and you know, maybe they just didn't show it or whatever, but I'm looking at the lineup of all their armored vehicles and tanks, and you know what I didn't see? Minesweepers. And that's what I didn't see in Ukraine either. They just ran in, hit a mine, and then, you know, if they go into Gaza without minesweepers, and they will hit IEDs and blow up, and that armor gets taken out, their infantry's going to panic. They're relying on, you know, the air and the drones. Well, here's how the low-tech way to get rid of air cover. You light a few tires on fire, and the whole atmosphere fills up with black smoke, and you can't see what's below. So they're going to be stuck in a cauldron of urban warfare, Chechen style, with people who have done nothing but think about this for years, their whole life, versus conscripts who don't want to be there. They run every time, you know, a stick breaks. They fly behind and run. I don't think that they're going to go in the ground. I think they're acting like it, and I think they're going to posture about it, but they're just going to safely bomb them with the Air Force until the international community makes them do a ceasefire. It's like they're like looking around for their friends. Hold me back. Hold me back, because they're not going to go in there. It won't go well. Look how bad it went for them versus Hezbollah, and that wasn't even urban warfare. It's just people who could fire back. Half the army runs away after the first shot. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
I think they're going down.
And I believe that that's a likely scenario. And if that's a likely scenario, there's going to be some severe political shakeup going on in Israel that we can all hope for. Because maybe they'll abandon the idea of using military force to suppress the poor Palestinians.
They're hitting them in the West Bank right now, too. And that's something I forgot to mention in the beginning. They already murdered 189 people this year just in the West Bank from up to September. There may have been more that I missed, but I was adding that up. I already had a tally from August, so I started going day by day. 189 civilians. None of that was reported. And the raid on the mosque wasn't reported, and spitting on Christians and all the other annoying things they're always doing and getting away with. This could trigger, they put the Ford and one of the other carriers got sent out there, the Eisenhower, I think. What is that? What are we doing? Yeah, why do we have two carriers outside Gaza Strip? Is that actually aimed at Lebanon or what? What was the point of that? Just because they have to do something? Deterring,
it's aimed at deterring Hezbollah and Iran.
And Iran. Well, Iran has hypersonic missiles.
The U.S. would intervene in the war directly.
So America could get dragged into a fight with Lebanon and Iran. Hooray.
Over Israel.
Because a bunch of rabbis raided a mosque.
Right.
Hooray. So it's totally in our national interest. Not. Okay. Well, it's, let's say that doesn't happen. If there is a ceasefire, if who would be able to come in and say, guys, knock it off. Let's talk this out. We need to really look at, address some of these grievances. You know, why is, you can't have a blockade and occupation, annexation, the West Bank, da, 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 da. Could Russia or, well, who could broker a deal? Because the Americans always are just completely biased to the Zionists, and there's, it's not a serious conversation. So what group or combination of countries could get in there to arbitrate a ceasefire and actually start addressing grievances on both sides?
Well, I think China would be an obvious choice.
China.
Because China has considerable economic investments in Israel. They run the port of Haifa.
It's true.
And the Israelis are aware of that. And Russia, of course, has not, in my mind, spoiled its possibility as a role in an even-handed, because so many Israeli Jews are Russians. And they're major supporters of Netanyahu.
Yeah, that whole wave of immigrants from the 90s is Russian. That's true.
Right, right.
And, you know, they're also, they must be giving praise to Hamas as well, because Hamas single-handedly cut global aid to Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right.
In a way. Not on purpose, but it's like, well, too bad. Zelensky must be beside himself. He's like, I wanted HIMARS, not Hamas. But that, I'm not saying it was arranged like this to do this, but serendipitously for the U.S., they had already ousted the Speaker of the House, and they're trying to, you know, get away from Ukraine anyway, because they've lost that war. It's over. This is a very convenient event to go, oh, yeah, let's pay attention to this. Shut up, Ukraine. Forget about that. That's, oh, well, yeah. It's Gaza season now, because they will be able to justify not sending any more aid to Ukraine, something they needed to do, and a few Republicans were going to do anyway, to, well, now we can't because we have to save the Israelis, right? But that'll be the face-saving way to get off the Ukraine train, perhaps. So I guess Hamas has saved us from more and another potential nuclear war in Eastern Europe. So, and I'm not saying like they planned it like that. I'm saying it just happens to be that way.
Yeah, it could be. And also, of course, the money pipeline is going to run out at some point too. Financing two wars in two different places to multi-billion dollars in each, it gets to be a bit of a strain.
Does the U.S. even have, I guess Israel has its own ammo and enough bombs. They bombed Gaza, I heard, 6,000 times.
Right.
In just a few days.
There's a report today that the United States is supplying Israel with these bunker busters that were originally developed to bomb Iran. And so these things have a much better deep penetration and will no doubt be used in Gaza City and elsewhere. So
have you seen the photos of white phosphorus?
Yeah, and white phosphorus weapons are being used.
And MK-77, it's a type of white phosphorus. Yeah, that's a chemical weapon that is illegal, but they've used them in all these conflicts. The difference is there's so many more cell phones and things now, and so what could anything? I think I know the answer, but could anything come of that? Say, hey. Photographic evidence of chemical weapons being used by the Israelis on civilians who don't even have air defense at all.
No, there's not. There's as long as the U.S., Britain, France exercise their vetoes in the United Nations, there's not going to be any kind of international condemnation of what Israel is doing. I think Israel has to, basically what we'll see is Israel will reach the point where its destruction of the Gaza Strip is so devastating and so many people will die that there will be just a wave of revulsion. And we see that, I think we will see that very soon.
I hope not. It was lucky that it had so much rain or whatever they're saying stopped it. Apparently there was a lot of rain. There's floods in Tel Aviv or something, but so they can't get their air in there. So that gives us, it gives us time to stop this disaster before it happens. They have to know once we go in and kill a whole bunch of people, the world's not going to be able to stomach it and they're going to make it stop. But I swear they don't care. They're like, we need the demographic advantage to have more Jews than Arabs. So we got to kill a whole bunch. We got to go mow the lawn.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the point? You know, you kill a million people. Like, no one's going to let that happen. So what's the point in going in? They think they just assassinate Hamas leadership or whatever. Are they mental? People, that Hamas isn't mind controlling Gaza Strip. People hate you because of your behavior. They hate you because of your occupation. They hate you because of your annexation. This isn't like Hamas did this. Hamas is a natural byproduct of Israel's behavior. And if every single one of them were killed, they'd just be replaced by more, because everybody there hates the Israeli state. They can't kill their way out of this. There's no military solution. And we don't seem to have any adults in the room. That's why I'm, like, I was asking you, okay, China and Russia, but could they broke? How would that happen? Like, who? I saw Putin's speech on it. Have you seen anything from China of interest of this to get in before they slaughter all these people in Gaza?
Nothing specific, but the Chinese have been making some noises about discussions and communications and that sort of thing. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, but I the sad thing is, I expect nothing whatsoever from the United States.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath in America. I have to point out, I really love your shirt, the USS Liberty there. That's an event more and more people are starting to learn about, where, you know, Hamas never attacked an American ship and killed American sailors. Only Israel's done that. And that's something you could say for a lot of events. Only Israel's been able to do that. I do find the irony that the Egyptians were willing to warn the Israelis about Hamas, but the Israelis were not willing to warn the United States about September 11th.
That's an interesting story. In fact, that's the headline of the article that I'm working on right now. That
sorry.
Yeah, that this is very much like 9/11. That, you know, the Israelis played a similar role in both events.
They certainly knew. I mean, they gave logistical support to 9/11 hijacker, and that was flagged by the Miami Field Office Division of the FBI, as well as Newark Division. So they,
right.
That's another can of worms, but it is something. When they kept saying, this is like our 9/11, and I'm thinking, no, 9/11 was your 9/11.
They're both your 9/11s.
Exactly. It's like that wouldn't have, you knew, and you, that's what we got from our greatest ally. Just allow that to happen. And okay. Now, one last thing before you go. People are blaming Egypt for not letting refugees in. I think there's a couple reasons why that can't happen. I would like your opinion on it. That's, a lot of people are trashing Egypt, but why don't you allow the Palestinians, a million refugees, cross your border and go into Egypt?
Well, I would say that, first of all, we're not just talking about letting a lot of people in. We're talking about letting 2 million people in.
Yeah.
If the entire Gaza is cleared. So that's a big difference. And I also would say that the Egyptians are concerned about how this is going to be destabilizing. And they have their own political problems. I gather you do follow what goes on in Egypt, too, to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of political unrest there, too. They don't need something to light that fire. So I think that's...
They have a lot of refugees from Sudan already.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
a lot of Palestinians right. also don't want to leave because they are afraid they can't ever return. There's no right of return.
That's right.
That's another thing.
That's right.
And the last thing is, I don't know if you saw the story, but Israel dropped some leaflets in North Gaza and said, oh, you guys have to go to South Gaza. We're just going to hit this part. And then when some of them did, They bombed the convoy and killed 70 people instantly. 70 just regular people, families,
yeah,
cars.
There have been two such incidents. There was another one where they killed over 100. So, yeah, they've Israeli promises are worth their weight in gold.
Mm. Yeah, a couple times doing that. Can't believe that anymore. That, and, you know, MSNBC actually reported that. I was shocked. And then they fired the reporter. That they fired two reporters talked about it on MSDNC, how they bombed the convoy after the leaflets. And they were both fired. Three people got fired, but two made that report. Maybe the third one didn't. I didn't see it. But they were all Muslim reporters, and they all got fired. So I don't know if they just went off script and did that or what happened, but they admitted this on the national news media in the U.S. for once. Now, I don't know of any other networks that carried the story because, U.S. media is completely Zionist. But outside the U.S., that was a regular story. It was in Korean news. In fact, it was on Korean TV. They were saying how Israel provoked the entire thing, and that Hamas, they did call Hamas terrorists and said they're shooting rockets at towns, but that Israel has been murdering Palestinians all year long. Whoa. Isn't it sick that we're surprised when TV media tells the truth? Like, shouldn't that be normal?
The new normal.
Well, it's getting that way. Final thing, Elon Musk, how do you see the unchaining of the censor to whatever on Twitter? Do you think that's having an impact, like Tucker going over there and I got unbanned?
I've certainly seen a lot of good stuff on Twitter in the last couple of days that is getting through whatever censorship they continue to have. So I'm appreciative of it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a game changer. It breaks that monopoly. All right. Phil Giraldi, ladies and gentlemen, you got any questions, buddy? No shackle chats. All right. I know you've got a lot of things to do and you got to keep current on topic, and you probably getting asked the same things by everybody, but my audience wanted, they said, bring back Phil. So, so he did. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
That guy is awesome. He's always spot on with that. I love that shirt. I should have asked him where he bought that. I'll email him, see where we can get those Liberty shirts, because I know some of you guys are wondering about it. We are on Entropy, we are on Power Chat, and we are on Rumble. I know you guys aren't used to my streams in the morning, but, you know, when I have a guest, it's whenever they're available. Ben Aside, Jordan Peterstein, yeah, I know. That's my nicknames for him now. W. Phil, yeah, a lot of chat likes Phil. Phil Giraldi's a stud. CNI is one of the first, and still one of the only Palestinian advocate groups in D.C., It was a little tongue-in-cheek in the beginning of the interview, but when I was alluding to some of the places he had worked, he'd actually been fired from those places for telling the truth about Zionist influence in American media. And, you know, he got the Kanye treatment, or the Ye treatment, before Kanye. A lot of people have, and he's one of them. I don't see the evidence of Iran. I know they send weapons to Hezbollah. That's not a secret. And there's Shia militia in Syria that was fighting with ISIS. But I don't see the aid Palestinians. It wouldn't make sense to smuggle the arms in and risk an international incident and violating Arms Export Control Act and da-da-da-da when it's a lot easier to get money in, which can be used for their low-tech army, like commercial drones, for example. Pretty cheap. I mean, Hamas has built an army on low budget, low tech, but very clever and superior tactics. You got to give them that. You cannot deny how they pantsed the Israeli army, which has every advantage there is. They have them walled in a cage with constant surveillance. High-tech everything, Shin Bet, Mossad, all that, la-da-da-da-da. far more people, far more money, allies from the United States, and da da da, and they still got spanked. And Hamas was able to hold that territory for days. It's not like they found out and then ran them out of there. Nope. Took them days, and they still don't have it all. Now they're surrounding Gaza, and it's a very eerie thing. It's like a flood of rain probably stopped the aircraft, sunk some of the armor. That would be hilarious. I don't want this to happen. But if they go in, I think they are going to get hit with anti-tank weapons, mines, and drones. That armor is going to go out. The infantry will figure out the positions and call in airstrikes because they don't care about civilians. And frankly, the world, it won't matter. Normally, they'd have to fight infantry against infantry. You can't just blow up a whole building. But they will, because it's Israel and they can get away with it. As hard as the fighting in Ukraine, Donbass, has been, Russia doesn't just flatten apartment buildings with cruise missiles or fighter jets or bombers. They haven't done that. They haven't dropped 1,000 bombs on anybody. I mean, they spread out over Ukraine, they have, but maybe 20 to 35 on a military base. Israel's dropped 6,000 on Gaza, and that doesn't count whatever they blew up today. Sick. It's a sick society. It's God's chosen lunatics that come racially colonize land that the trans Semites moved to in the 1940s. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to try and get Daniel McAdams on the show, Robert and Lakesh, Marim Sisley, and so on. We got a nice list. And then Scott Ritter and myself, if things work out with the arranging time and everything, we'll be on Fresh and Fit Tuesday with Myron and the gang. And so you'll want to catch that one. See you then. Peace.